There's a lot of humor in procrastination, such as the observation, we buy books about procrastinating but never get around to reading them. There's also sarcasm in Don Marquis's opinion, procrastination is the art of keeping up with yesterday. There's a sports comment, if procrastination were an Olympic sport, I'd compete in it later. For those who join the procrastination club, I'll tell you about it later. And the definition of tomorrow is the greatest labor-saving device of today. Janet Daly remarked, someday is not a day of the week. Studies by Professor Peter M. Vishton of William and Mary College show that somewhere between 80% and 95% of people engage in procrastination. It's a lot. And he said 50% of people report that they procrastinate consistently, and that the procrastination frequently causes problems. It has been noted that the way most people deal with procrastination promotes anxiety, for when we have a task to accomplish, whether it be at school or at work, we look someplace else to occupy our minds. It could be email, which is a bottomless pit of time wasting. It could be shuffling papers because we need to clean clutter. What I found fascinating is that Professor Vishton, who teaches psychology and wrote numerous articles about psychology, states that to break free from the grip of procrastination, sit quietly and think for 15 to 20 minutes about what you're going to do. Now, this tip may seem counterintuitive, but there's good evidence that it works. Sitting can break the cycle of delay and distraction and time wasting. Professor Vishton added, if you want to reduce your own tendency to procrastinate, keep the significance of your work in perspective. While your work may be vitally important, the sun will still rise tomorrow morning. I named the title of today's message Holy Procrastination because after I read Professor Vishton's suggestions, because I frequently find myself procrastinating, I now try to sit for 15 minutes and think and relax. And perhaps this is exactly what God had in mind when he inspired the story of creation as told in Genesis chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. It begins in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. Now I'm going to severely summarize the story, but these are the exact words. I just left out what I thought was not relevant. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light was good the first day. Then God said, let there be a dome and let it separate the waters the second day. Then God said, let the dry land appear and let the earth put forth vegetation. And God saw that it was good the third day. And God made two great lights, one light to rule the day and the other light to rule the night. And God saw that it was good the fourth day. And God created every living creature that moves, and God saw that it was good the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things. I've run into those. And wild animals of the earth of every kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. God blessed them. God saw that what he had made, and indeed it was very good, the sixth day. So thank you for listening to this concise version of the first 6 days of Genesis. And again, I only included the relevant words, but those are the actual words. And I want to go back to the concepts of holiness and procrastination. The Pew Bible has a translation, the NRSV, and it translates verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2 of Genesis as follows. On the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. But the Complete Jewish Bible and its version, CJB, which is printed in your order of worship this morning, translates the same verses. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished along with everything in them. On the seventh day, God was finished with his work which he had made, so he rested on the seventh day. He rested from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and separated it as holy. Because on that day, God rested from all the work he had created so that it itself could produce. The translations, of course, are very close. The CJV uses the word holy, which I think is clearer to our cultural understanding than the word hallowed. And it is this word holy that I now want to focus on. When I was still in kindergarten, I learned the Ten Commandments. And one of them was, keep the Sabbath holy. And I thought for decades all that meant was, go to church on Sunday. It was only decades, and I mean many decades, many, many decades later, that I started to read Exodus and read the full commandment that Moses brought to us. And that was the reading today. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Don't do any work. You, anybody in your household, and even the foreigners who are traveling, the strangers in your land. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and everything, but on the seventh day the Lord rested. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. So allow me to back up. In the story of creation, we're told there are 7 days. And by the way, I'm not stating there's 7 days or 7,000 days or 7 million days, nor am I stating that this is the order of creation. This is a poetic version of creation. But what I am in awe of is that the last part of the Stone Age and early part of the Bronze Age, God's inspired word was with us. God inspired the oral authors of Genesis to write about spirituality, theology, if you will, but mostly spirituality about what belongs to God. And the inspired word of God is that what belongs to God is holy. The creation story was organized thousands upon thousands of years ago, millennia, when nobody had any idea of what the Hubble telescope has now disclosed to us just decades ago. The astronomy and much of the archaeology, which I studied in college, is what my grandchildren now refer to as old school. Yet I have reverent astonishment that the inspired word of God is interwoven with the beginning of time. I'm in wonderment that God intervened in our world with the earliest of humans. And what Genesis then means to me is that God's Holy Spirit, in creating a version of the world's creation, clearly states that we are created in the likeness of God. Now, this story gives us a package of 7 days, and this is our week. According to Genesis, all of the 7 days and all of God's creation, all of it is announced to be good. Also, what is additionally important is that there's no separation of the first 6 days from the seventh day. It is all one week. And why is this significant? Because when you arrive at the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, we are to keep it holy. It's a consecrated day. Think for a second on the influence that the Jewish people had throughout the world as they struggled with every one of their captors to follow God's command to obey the Sabbath. And think for a second on how their captors couldn't believe these people when they refused to work one day of the week, saying it was their God's day. Over the course of history, the rest of the world began to adopt a 6-day work week with 1 day of rest. But have we forgotten the entire commandment? Because what is not foremost is that God rested. Yes, we need our rest, and we received an extra hour this last night. But the commandment clearly states that the Sabbath is a holy day, a blessed day, a consecrated day. So what makes the Sabbath a special day and a day that's been special for thousands of years? And the answer has to do with the creation story, because the answer has to do with stuff and time. The first part of creation was stuff. Light, water, land, vegetation, animals, fish, birds, then people. And now in our current modern age, we can mostly explain the stuff, which is the entire expanding universe and galaxies, and the smallest of particles and quarks and all that kind of thing blows my mind. Simply stated, stuff is what we see and touch. Stuff changes. The universe and the earth and rocks and tables and chairs change and rot. Nothing remains the same. Even though we create things, what we create decays. But the Sabbath is in time. And time is what is. Time is the isness of life itself. Time just is. And the commandment of time is to just be. To just be what is. Time past is gone. Time in the future is not yet here. The only time we have right now, and the commandment brings this home, is the present. Stuff proves that no thing remains the same. But time belongs to God. We cannot create time. God creates the rough stuff of creation, and then we can make steel for cars and cut and shape wood for houses. But we cannot create or modify time. Even a church building eventually crumbles, but sanctified time remains. And I want to stress this most important point. The people of God, you and I, remain in time, in God's time, in God's world. And this is one reason that Remembrance Sunday is critical for us, to memorialize those who have passed but are in God's time, eternal time. So why is creation good and why is the Sabbath time holy? According to the commandment and according to the story of creation in Genesis, stuff is good. But we humans are blessed and very good. But what is clearly announced as holy and consecrated is Sabbath time. What the inspired word of God in Genesis tells us is that God worked, and as part of God's work, He created the world, and then He created man and woman, and then together, man and woman, who had no part in the work, all together rested with God on that first Sabbath. Think of what the inspired word tells us. We relax with God. And since creation, it is our turn to work and then rest six days later, but never alone, but again, always with God. And that is the commandment, to rest with God on a consecrated day. Abram Joshua Heschel, a renowned rabbi, stated that the world has our hands, but our soul belongs to someone else. 6 days a week we work to dominate the world, but on the seventh, we must work to dominate ourselves. Heschel made some other observations. The Sabbath is an opportunity to mend our tattered lives, to collect rather than dissipate time. The seventh day is not a date, but an atmosphere. And the primary awareness is one of our being within the Sabbath rather than that of the Sabbath being within us. So what was created on the Sabbath day? Tranquility, serenity, peace, repose, happiness, harmony, and stillness. And isn't that what the psalmist wrote about in the psalm we all know so well, even with our eyes closed, Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So through the commandment, Heschel states, the Sabbath teaches all beings whom to praise, and we are to rest even from the thought of labor. But it is not an empty day, because the Sabbath spirit is a reality we meet rather than an empty span of time which we set aside for comfort or for recuperation. This morning, one of the songs the soloists and we will be singing is Psalm 29. And we'll see how the psalmist recognized God's glory and splendor, and how the psalmist recognized that God's voice, His word, is supreme. This is the thought of Sabbath. Heschel made this observation. There's much that philosophy can learn from the Bible. To the philosopher, the idea of the good is the most exalted idea, but to the Bible, the idea of good is penultimate. It cannot exist without the holy. The good is the base. The holy is the summit. One must be overawed by the marvel of time to be ready to perceive the presence of eternity in a single moment. We usually think that the earth is our mother, that time is money, or time is our enemy, and profit our mate. But the seventh day is a reminder that God is our Father and that time is life. The Sabbath is not holy because of the grace of man. It was God who sanctified the seventh day. Holiness in nature was known to other religions. New in Judaism, was the idea that holiness was gradually shifted from space to time, from the realm of nature to the realm of history, from things to events. And the day of the Lord is more important to prophets than the house of the Lord, because there's no mention of a sacred place in the commandments. Things that are created, stuff, conceal the Creator. It is the dimension of time where we meet God. And the act of bringing the world into existence is a continuous process. God called the world into being, and that call continually goes on. We see this in Psalm 104, which was our call to worship this morning. And we prayed, O Lord, how manifold are your works, and wisdom you have made them all. All the earth is full of your creatures. In time, we find Jesus, the Son of God. And Jesus in time is still with us, reaching, guiding, saving, and continually clearing the way through the darkness that we often encounter in life. And isn't that when Jesus was echoing when he said, I am the light of this world? And he announced, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus affirmed his timelessness. He is eternal. So how do we now, in 2017, honor the Sabbath? Do we stop all sports, all movies? That will not happen. But what we can do is to recognize that our Sabbath, our Sunday, is a continuing day of remembering the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, our Savior. And in doing so, to remember that this is an especially blessed day and an especially consecrated day. And while we go about all that we do on Sunday, to recognize that it is a day of holy time, eternal time. In temporal time, we are to remember that we and everyone here and everyone throughout this world is created in the likeness of God. Somehow it's so easy to think of other people as the other, those people, rather than as our brothers and sisters. It is so very sad that day after day we hear of extreme violence and death. We hear of bullying, racism, sexism, hate, and evil. Yet from the earliest of ancient times, the inspired word of God was that all creation was good, and that when men and women were created, they were blessed and very good. So let us not forget that we are a blessed people. Jesus told us in his timelessness, and please notice again the I am declaration, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. And one of Jesus' most famous I am pronouncements was made when he told the Apostle Thomas with all the other apostles present, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And this promise gives us so much hope in our faith in Jesus, especially on this Remembrance Sunday. So as we live with and in Jesus, let us also rest in him and understand that God wants us to be with him and spend time with him. We are not just a people, we are a holy people, because as God continued in Genesis, God breathed into us the breath of life, and we are now living beings. Let us be worthy of the God who created us and the Christ who teaches us and brings us ever closer union with God our Father and the Holy Spirit who daily inspires us. So when the Sabbath comes around, and for you perhaps it may not even be Sunday, you may have to pick another day of the week, and because you might be extremely busy, and I've been there in life, maybe it's only 1 hour a week that we can call our Sabbath time, but make Sabbath time. Therefore, the $1 million and perhaps $1 billion question for all of us and each of you and me in our lives is, how do we do this in our modern culture? As I stated, we're an active people, and perhaps Sabbath time is daily taking a walk or jogging or looking out a window for a longer period of time. Could Sabbath for you and your family be a leisurely dinner and talk? Taking time to build Legos with children and grandchildren and reading with them. Taking the time not to be frantic or stressful. Taking the time, however short it may be, to experience the joy of life, the humor in life, and the glory and beauty of creation by stepping back and realizing and trying to realize inner peace. The commandments is To obey the Sabbath is a directive to rest, so that we may realize consecrated time. In many ways, it is the easiest commandment to follow. In other ways, in our modern world, it is the hardest to follow. And I can say that with a lot of experience in my life. I have a lot of personal history in that. Yet, when we do take the time to rest, let us perhaps call it holy procrastination. For then we can take away any false guilt by telling ourselves and others that we're obeying one of the commandments. When psychologist Vishten recommends we take 15 or 20 minutes prior to starting a project, I thought that, well, maybe this is just an excuse to procrastinate. But I have found that what he proposes does work. And I have now connected his advice to the ancient story of Genesis, which truly comes alive to me in new ways. For God has, from the very beginning of time, desired consecrated and sanctified and holy time. God made it part of who we are, part of our DNA, and that's the reason for the commandment. To close, we all know the Nike slogan, "Just do it." And perhaps if the authors of Genesis had been around when now for the Nike slogan, maybe they would change it for the Sabbath day as, "Just do it tomorrow." Amen.